Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm Joseph Ward. Got my homeboy back up in the building. My dog Sam Dixie back up in here with me. And we're holding it down for another episode of your favorite sports podcast, the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Because we're coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole. So put your seatbelt on because we always bring you something good, something nice, and something fancy. And you can put your pinky up and still be street at the same time. You can wear a top hat and gold teeth in your mouth because that's how we give it to you. Ain't that right, Sam?
That's for sure, man. Either way.
What it is. That's what it is. My dog back up in the building is going down. Y'all better be ready. So you know what? We ain't even finna waste time. We finna go ahead and give him these topics. We ain't got no time to waste because it's been a long day already. I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning. So we just finna go ahead and get into this show. All right, we're gonna give y'all this quick rundown. HBCU spotlight. So what had happened with Jackson State, right, is they was winning, right, but then they had lost. But then as a result of them losing, Southern is now in the top 25 in the FCS. So we're going to talk about that. Or is it FBS or FCS? Which one it is?
FCS.
Or it's alphabetical order?
Yeah. All
right, we're going to go with that. We're going to go with what Sam said. Hey, so in women's NCAA hoops, Stanford wins the national title. So we're going to give them their props. And men's hoops, I was surprised because I'm going to be real. I really haven't really watched live sports since the Super Bowl. So I was surprised to hear that Baylor won the men's national championship. So I think for over a decade, this case has been going on. The young man from South Georgia, Kendrick Johnson, he was found mysteriously dead and rolled up in a mattress in his high school, and apparently nobody knows. And at one point, they were trying to say it was suicide or whatever, but that case is reopened, so we're gonna dig into that. Sam's favorite basketball player, Paul Pierce, the truth, he was fired from ESPN because he did a live stream where he had strippers and weed. So we're gonna get into that. And we're going to get into some of the hypocrisy for ESPN, too. But we're going to get into the stupidity of Paul Pierce. One of them Paul boys, damn it. So for my Florida State faithful, man, y'all hold your heart. Hold your heart. Because Travis Rudolph is arrested on murder charges. And if you've been watching Florida State football, know anything about Florida State football, you know who Travis Rudolph is. And you're like, no. But, yeah. So, an ex-MMA fighter, Tyler East, was fatally shot in a domestic dispute. That's one part of our weekly rant. The second part of our weekly rant is former NFL player Phillip Adams kills 5 in South Carolina, then himself. Yeah, it's going down. So, man, y'all know how we do this thing. We started off right with the HBCU spotlight. So, like I was saying, a couple weeks ago, Jackson State was on top of the FCS world, or the black college football world, because they hadn't won 3 games in a row, and it looked like Jackson State might be a formidable opponent or make that run for that SWAC title in like Deion Sanders' first year, right? But then they ran into Grambling, and a goal line stance at Grambling got them their first loss, and then last week they got their ass whooped. That's up. And as a result of Southern whooping their ass, Southern is now in the top 25. So 3 weeks ago, Southern University was a team with lots of question marks, a few plays away from an 0-2 start, with a potential quarterback in position controversy, with questions about whether it would remain amongst the conference's elite this spring. 2 wins later, not only is Southern back on track, it's nationally ranked. Going down in the bayou, that shell. That's why I talk like that shell, because it comes from straight from that bayou shell. Just tell him what he supposed to tell Elizabeth to do. I'm saying what Elizabeth supposed to do.
Now she got to shoot that gator.
You shoot that gator, Elizabeth. So Southern Wicked is way into the FCS coaches top 25 poll. In its win over Jackson State, it ranked 25th in the country, the only HBCU listed on the poll. Its record stands at 4-1, including the forfeit by Alcorn State. Why y'all quit? Why y'all forfeited Alcorn? Huh? Y'all was scared? They were scared, Sam. They were scared because they acorns. They acorns. You know, a snakes will never forfeit.
That's right.
So, it's a watershed mark for a program that has won the SWAC West in each of the last two seasons, but never managed to get nationally ranked. It echoed what head coach Dawson Odoms told reporters after his team's 34-14 win over Jackson State on Saturday. "We've been good," he said. "Now the world got a chance to see it. We're a good football program. We're a good institution." Southern's win was accomplished by big performances by several players, including running back Devin Ben and defensive end Jordan Lewis. The pair was named SWAT Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, respectively. One time for the Southern Jaguars out there getting the wins over people and getting nationally ranked. How you feel about that, there, Sam?
That's bad. That's what's up, man. It's crazy. Cause it's like you wanna congratulate Southern, but it kind of still goes back to what we talked about weeks ago. It's Deion Sanders, man. I mean, and it's like, yeah, they lost, but the reason that game was nationally televised was because it's Deion Sanders. The reason so many people paid attention to it, because Deion Sanders. So I mean, the other teams, I mean, that's your chance to show what you got.
And that's what they did.
You know, you get that chance, you capitalize. That's what they did. They capitalized. They went out. They knew it was going to be a nationally televised game. They played well, showed out, and now they reaping the rewards.
Yeah. Now, okay, so let me ask this, because I talked about this in the beginning when the spring season was first starting, and it was legit. Deion was the coach. Does black college football need Jackson State to have a winning record, or even Jackson State to not lose any more games and have an outstanding record of season for it to really benefit black college football moving forward? Do you think?
I mean, I don't think they got to be, you know. They don't have to be the new, you know, they don't have to be the Alabama of that level. I mean, they just need to be, they need to be competent. And thus far, it's like, you know, they that's what they are. Because like I said, just the fact that him being there, that's going to get the eyeballs there. And, you know, all the other sports at Jackson State, they're going to feel that residual effect.
They are.
And then all the other the schools that play against them, they're going to feel that residual effect. So, I mean, so like I said, even if, you know, the Jackson State themselves aren't going out there, you know, and like I said, becoming the Alabama of FBS or FCS, excuse me, it's still, you know, going to be that effect, just getting people looking at it. Because then, you know, somebody they may have turned in. Oh, let's see what Jack. Let's see what you know. Let me look at Deion Sanders' team. But then you watching Deion Sanders' team and you notice the other team. You're like, hold on,
they
that
team's
good, right?
Right. Yeah. Now I that makes sense. That definitely makes sense because I really haven't made my mind up with that whether Jackson State actually needs to be the dominant team or not, or could they just be in the mix? But we've definitely seen a residual effect from a residual effect affecting other programs for Jackson State. We've covered the volleyball, we've covered the women's basketball, we've covered other programs that have won things and that are winning. So there is some type of residual effect, and there is a Deion Sanders effect on black college football, and I think it's going to last for a while because I can't wait to we have a full SWAC schedule.
Right.
Because, matter of fact, fam, you got Jackson State 2021. They got Jackson State scheduled first game of the season. So that's why I'm still confused about if they're playing now, would they still be playing come the fall?
So. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, that's going to be interesting because, like I said, it's going to be an interesting kind of case study to see how they're going to perform. Is that going to give them some kind of advantage or disadvantage? Who knows, right. man?
Right. But all we know is, Prime, we love you. But them snakes coming. Them snakes is coming. Hey, man, that's the HBCU spotlight. That's your shout out. Shout out to Southern for being ranked in the top 25, for getting their victory and for doing their thing, because Southern is a legit football team. And like I say, Southern has won the SWAC the last 2 years. They've been in the Bayou Classics, challenging Grambling. Also have made it to the Heritage Bowl. So shout out to the Southern and shout out to the Bayou, and got to keep that thing now going there, y'all, and shoot them Gators. So moving, keep this thing moving. So on women's NCAA basketball, I haven't watched any basketball. I haven't really watched sports live since the Super Bowl, but I've been paying attention to what's going on. I know what's going on. And so I was looking at the angle, I ain't gonna lie, I was looking at the angle of Dawn Staley, seeing if Dawn Staley would be in this championship game. Who would that? So I think it was Stanford. I think it was South Carolina and Stanford.
Yeah.
Okay, so Stanford had the other black woman head coach, correct?
Yeah, because I think Arizona's coach is black.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It was Arizona. So, but Stanford beat Arizona to win the national championship. So one of the lady black coaches did make it to the actual championship game. But we was hoping to see her against Dawn Staley. So South Carolina versus Arizona. Because, hey, that's what we want to see. We ain't going to lie. That's what we want to see. But that didn't happen. And it was Arizona and Stanford. And Stanford gets the victory. And Stanford have a young lady that can ball into. They got a young lady. Her name is Haley Jones. Haley Jones be balling. So it was worth the wait 29 years after winning its last NCAA title. Stanford is a national champion again. I say like Malcolm X, again. The Cardinal held off Arizona 54-53 on Saturday in San Antonio with Wildcat star guard Ari McDonald missing a shot just before the buzzer. It's okay, Ari. It's okay. The number one overall seed in the 2021 NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, Stanford and coach Tar Van Derver won their third championship, adding to the program's titles in 1990 and 1992. The 29-year gap is the longest for any Division I coach in any sport. McDonald gutted out 22 points and was harassed all night by Stanford's defense, but despite trailing by as many as 11 points in each half, the Wildcats, they had a chance to win in. So how did Stanford clinch the title? And in doing so, beat Arizona for its third time this season. How did the Cardinals, who were displaced by enhanced COVID-19 guidelines enforced on a 9-week road trip through 6 different states, end up the last team standing after the most unique season in college basketball history? I don't know, Mr. Article. Tell us how. Okay. This article sucks. Stanford won, okay? Forget all this. All right, let me just find some stats because this article sucks. I can't read this. Let me get Stanford versus Arizona stats because that's going to drive me crazy. God damn it, just get to it.
But why you looking for that? It's cool to see because, you know, for the longest time with women's college basketball is UConn. Baylor was there for a couple of years. It's getting a little bit more teams. So it's great to see more of those teams starting to rise up and challenge and be on that level. Yeah. Cause I mean, and honestly, like I said, I know you said you didn't watch all it, but like I saw a few of the games. UConn was in the semifinal, but I know. They got bailed out. I felt like they shouldn't have been there.
Well, you're talking about that
the game, the elite, the regional,
the foul,
the regional
though, right?
Final against Baylor.
You didn't think that was a foul?
That they fouled the heck out of that girl. So
they should have called it a foul.
Right, they should have called.
Yeah, they should have.
Baylor had a chance to. They were shooting for the win.
Right.
In the last minute, because they were down by one, and they mauled her. And they didn't call anything, but you know, it is what it is, man. But back to what I was saying, like, yeah, it's just cool to see, you know, other teams starting to rise up. Cause like I said, you know, for the longest it was, you know, UConn, you know, Tennessee. Well, back in the day, Tennessee, everybody else was playing for second place. So now, you know, it's more of a, you know, more teams got a shot at it. They have risen up to the challenge them. And you know, it's good for the sport.
Yeah, I think there's been an increase in how they recruit and the different methods they use, because you can see that talent is more spread out. It's not just going, most of them going there. Because UConn could get top five chicks coming out of
high school. They was getting all the top players.
Right.
Like, several years ago, like, all the top players that's playing on Arizona, they would have been at UConn.
Right, right.
But now, you know, it's more spread out, like you said.
Yeah, because it's been, what, 3 or 4 years since UConn has won it.
Right. I think they last won in 2017.
Right. So the final score was Stanford 73, Arizona 64. So the top scorers for Arizona, Jay Delaire. I don't know first name, so we're going to go first name, period, last name. They know who they are. Oh, shout out to those ladies. So she had 21 points, 3 rebounds. You had De Silva. She had 17 points, 5 rebounds. O'Connell, 14 points, 3 rebounds. Ms. Jones, 10 points and 6 rebounds for Stanford. For Arizona, you had... Well, Arizona had 4 people in double figures as well. So Arizona, their top scorers was Akinjo with 17 points, 3 rebounds. Then you had Miss Brown with 13 points, 5 rebounds. Then Terry and Mathurin both had 10 points. Mathurin had 4 rebounds. Terry had 3 rebounds. So, but just looking at raw stats, Arizona out-rebound Stanford. Arizona had more assists than Stanford. But Arizona had 18 turnovers to Stanford's 12. Stanford had 8 steals. Arizona only had 4. Stanford had 5 blocks. So Arizona's offense was there, but the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yep. In almost every sport, that'll get you.
Because they were there in rebounds. They out rebounded them. They had more assists. They was only 1 block shy. But when it come to turnovers, both teams had 15 fouls. But them turnovers.
Yep.
Hey man, look, turnovers, penalties, those things. Like, well, for basketball, turnovers, penalties, and rebounds. Those things that can either win you or cost you a game. So. But shout out to the ladies of Stanford, them Lady Cardinals. They won the women's NCAA title. So getting their round of applause for winning the title. I hope they enjoy themselves and come back next year and do it again. You know what I'm talking about? So when we switching over to the men folk, you know what? Let me just go ahead and bring up the men folk stats right now, because I don't want to go through that dumb stuff that I just went through. So Baylor. Who Baylor play? Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Yeah, and that was like the matchup everybody expected to see.
Yeah,
and they were actually supposed to play each other, because I know you said you hadn't really followed the college basketball. Mm-hmm. they were supposed to play each other in the regular season, and it was, you know, it was going to be a big deal, but it had got canceled due to COVID.
Okay.
But yeah, they was the two teams that you know, everybody, you know, going through the year looked to be on that collision course. And it's crazy because everybody was talking about Gonzaga coming to this game was undefeated. Baylor, the only reason they lost those two games, they did lose because they went on that they had a COVID hiatus because they had a couple of guys test positive, so they had to sit out. And when they came back, they was kind of rusty. But they was every, because I think when they had that break, I think they was 20-0. And then they came back and lost two games like immediately out of that after they was out for like 2.5 weeks. But yeah, that was the game. And you know, I mean, it didn't really live up to the expectations because Baylor just took it to him from the jump.
It's a 16-point victory. I see that.
Right.
So the high for Baylor, Jay Butler had 22 points, 3 rebounds. Then you had MT 19 points, 2 rebounds. Then you had D Mitchell 15.6 rebounds. That's a solid game. Then A Flagler 13 points, 2 rebounds. For Gonzaga, you had Suggs 22 points, 1 rebound. Timmy. He had 12 points. Kispert had 12 points. Timmy had 5 rebounds. Kispert had 3. Those were the only people in double figures. Then Ayayi had 8 points. So, yeah, Gonzaga definitely took it to them. I mean, Baylor definitely took it to them. So, now, what's interesting, though, all right, Gonzaga shot 50% from the field. Baylor shot 44%. Baylor shot 43% from behind the line. They hit 10 of 23 threes.
Yep.
Gonzaga went 5 for 17 from behind the arc. Now, Gonzaga got to the line 21 times, but they only hit 15 of the 21. Baylor was more efficient. I can see Baylor was more efficient in their scoring. Free throws, Baylor from the line as a team was 88%. Basically, Baylor was 89% from the free throw line. They were 16 for 18 from the line. All right. So, the rebounds, Baylor 38, Gonzaga 22.
Yep.
What you want me to do with that?
Yeah, Baylor beat them pretty much, like I said, from the tip. Because I think they before Gonzaga even got going, it was like 25-9. I think, I can't remember the exact score, but they started out something crazy like that. Like they made their first like 4 or 5 3-point shots.
Right.
Was going crazy. And it was one of those games was like going into it, you know, it was the matchup. It was Gonzaga, you know, pretty much the top offensive team in the country. Baylor, the top defensive team in the country. They just clamped them up. I mean, like, you read the shoe percentage, but if you watch it, I mean, like, they had so many turnovers. Everything was difficult. I mean, like, everything. You know, even just the pass, you know, like, from you know, pass the ball around the perimeter was difficult for him. Baylor just made everything super, super hard. They was just, their defense was just on point.
I was just about to say, Gonzaga had 14 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So Baylor out-rebounded them by 16. Had exactly 16 offensive rebounds. So that's a potential of 32 extra points.
Mm-hmm.
So you got out rebounded by 16, and you had 14 turnovers.
It was crazy. And I know a lot of people was talking about going into the game, you know, Gonzaga had just had that crazy win against UCLA in the semifinal. So, you know, some semblance of, you know, like hangover coming off that crazy emotional win. And Baylor pretty much they was on cruise control pretty much the whole second half of their semifinal game against Houston. So, you know, that maybe that played into it. But honestly, watching it, I don't think it would have made much of a difference. The Baylor was – they just smothered Gonzaga on offense, man. And like I said, Gonzaga, just to get any kind of even to get a bad shot was tough for them to do.
Right, right, right. Look, they say defense wins championships. So we know a combination of offense and defense wins championships. We know that. But you got to stop – if you want to win, you got to stop somebody, but you got to score as well. But there are times, because we've seen both in our lifetime, we've seen both when you had offensive juggernauts that met a defensive juggernaut, and we've seen offensive juggernauts win, and we've seen defensive juggernauts. And I think we've probably seen a fair share of both sides win. So it'd be hard to say just one side is more important than the other. We know both are important. But when you could put them both together like Baylor did, you end up like swimming well. So, man, shout out to them Baylor Bears for being the 2021 NCAA Men's Tournament champions. Boiling! Hey, man. Hope y'all come back next year. There it is. All right, so we can finna turn the corner and get to some controversy before we get to some foolishness and then back into some stuff. All right, so years ago, 2013, young man named Kendrick Johnson, we believe, was murdered in South Georgia. What city exactly was that? You remember?
It's in Valdosta, I believe.
Yeah, Valdosta. Okay, yeah. Lyons High School, Valdosta, right? So Kendrick Johnson was found, as I said in the opening, he was found rolled up in a mat. And so some people are saying that he did that to himself. Now, I don't watch CIS or NCIS or none of these ISs and Cs. Don't watch none of that. I don't really claim to be no lawyer, none of that stuff, no legal expert, whatever. I do read things. I read a lot, actually. But I do have common sense. But I've been an athlete. Man, Sam, we've been athletes for a long time. We've been on mats and put mats up and rolled mats up a lot in our lives. So, you know, Sam got a lot more legal expertise than I do, but we both got a good amount of common sense in our brains. So Sam, you help me understand. Do you think it's possible that and some of these good mat drill mats now, that somebody can roll themselves up in the mats like that?
If you're talking about those blue mats that you put out on the floor and they like got the Velcro in that stuck together that everybody use, that, I mean, I don't want to say impossible, but it would be really hard to do. I mean, cause like you said, just thinking about when we would have them and you had to, you know, get ready for the drills or clean up after the drills, you would need two people to roll up the mats. So to one person, and that's to roll them up with you outside of it. So if you in it, I don't even see how you could even manipulate it to get it rolled up. Again, not saying it's impossible,
but it's highly unlikely.
Right. It just like I'm just trying to picture in my mind. It would have to be like it would have to be some kind of freak thing, like on Final Destination or something.
Some that has to be written in by hand or something. But because it's just like you say, you're not taking all the possibilities out, but we are saying it's highly, highly unlikely. Because we both have had experience with like the mats. We've had experience with the mats. And because we ain't talking about the little preschool mats. That ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about like real gym mats. Those things are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let me read a little bit of this article. It says, a Georgia sheriff's office is reopening an investigation into the 2013 death of Kendrick Johnson, a black teenager whose body was found inside a rolled-up gym mat in his high school gymnasium. Lowndes County Sheriff Ashley Pope, who was retired at the time of Johnson's death, confirmed to NPR that his office officially reopened the investigation on Friday. It did so after receiving documents it had long requested from a Justice Department investigation that closed in 2016. I am not accusing anybody of anything, but I want to start fresh with it, and I look at it all the way through, Pope told Atlanta NBC affiliate WXIA on Monday. I think the community deserves it. Questions, investigations, and lawsuits have abounded in the years since Johnson's body was discovered at Lowndes High School in Valdosta, Georgia in January of 2013. The 17-year-old disappeared one afternoon and was found the next morning with his head facing down inside an upright rolled-up gym mat and his feet sticking out of the top. State authorities ruled his death an accident in 2013, suggesting he dove into the mat to retrieve his shoe and got trapped inside. After an autopsy found that he died of positional asphyxia, let me get that right, the Lowndes County Sheriff's Office closed the case, but Johnson's family still suspected foul play. And the rest of Black America did too. All right. So a second autopsy done at the family's request determined the cause of death was blunt force trauma to the right side of Johnson's neck. And the manner of death was not an accident, according to federal investigators. In October 2013, the U.S. Attorney's Office for Middle District for the Middle District of Georgia announced a federal criminal civil rights investigation into Johnson's death. Officials interviewed nearly 100 people, scoured tens of thousands of emails and texts, reviewed surveillance videos from the high school, and consulted with independent medical examiners. The Justice Department closed the case in June 2016, saying it could not meet the high legal threshold needed to file federal criminal charges. It would have needed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that someone had killed Johnson and was motivated by racial animus to do so. Since we regret that we were unable to provide Johnson's family and friends with a more definitive answer about Kendrick's tragic death, acting United States Attorney Carol Renton said at the time. But let me stop there. So the second autopsy the family pulled out showed blunt force trauma to the side of the neck, right side of the neck, which will cause the death. But in reading it, they said he was found basically upside down in the mat. So he's gonna die because the hole will be about this big.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they closed up properly, you can't really dive in there. So that's why I said. It's not impossible, but just like you said, thinking about those mats and how they normally stored and how they normally put up and everything like that, it just like you said when we first talked about this, it just seemed like yeah, that don't seem right. Like you said, I mean, when I first heard about it, my thought was, yeah, somebody killed him and put him in there. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they did it that way to try to set it up to make it look like that's what he did.
I mean, positional asphyxia could be in conjunction with blunt force trauma to the neck. So somebody hit him in the neck. And then they put him in the mat, rolled him up in the mat, and turned him upside down because there's no way he would be able to have enough force to dive into that heavy mat like that and stand it up.
Right.
Like that's just not going to happen. And the fact that the fact that they're saying, basically, we ran out of the resources to help get this case solved. That's basically what they said.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where, like, I know you was talking about, like, those shows. This is one of those ones where, I mean, I'm glad they're reopening it. Maybe they found something new. But, like, it's one of those ones where they had an impasse, man. I mean, it's going to take some witness nobody ever knew about or some kind of evidence that just turns up because, like, they hadn't really they just still don't know. They don't know what happened. Everything is like best guess.
Right.
And like I said, it's gonna take like one of those things where like, you know, like, hey, somebody found something, you know, years later, you know, somebody, you know, come forward with something they saw or something, you know, who knows? But like you said, man, I mean, just thinking just thinking about the position he was in, you kind of want to like, yeah, that don't really make sense. But like you said, it's sad. You just hope that the family can one day get some closure and find out what exactly happened. Even some you type know, of what, justice. Right? Even if it is the case that they can definitively say yes. That's what happened. He dove in and that's what happened. Just so that they can know.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's wild. It's angering, all those different things, because it shouldn't take this much to figure out that this young man didn't do this himself to himself. But we are here. I am glad the case is reopened, and I'm hoping all can be done to get the justice, like you said, get the justice that the family need, and find the people who we believe killed this young man. Because whoever those people are, they've gone on to live their lives,
right?
While he hasn't. So we're gonna. Okay, we got a couple topics, so we're gonna keep this train moving and moving to a story that I found this morning. I didn't mention this in the rundown because I forgot to mention it in the rundown. That just popped in my head, but me and Sam talked about it earlier. So this is something I literally found like an hour before we started recording, like literally. So how did I find this? I think it was YouTube or something. I think I was scrolling YouTube or something, or Facebook. I was on Facebook or something, and they talked about, this is a guy named Darius Morris who was caught on video beating his girlfriend. So let's see. You can see this? You can see it? You see this young lady's face? You see her face?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay, so my first time reading this, let's see. So current and former NBA players have been involved in controversies recently, and we unfortunately have found the newest case to that infamous list. Former Los Angeles Lakers and Los Angeles Clippers player Darius Morris was caught on video beating his ex-girlfriend, who desperately screamed for help. Pictures and videos were shared on social media exposing Morris and his unfortunate attitude and actions toward the girl, who was tired of the situation and called Morris out on Instagram with a sense of post that included a video. So, I don't want to put her stuff out like that, but this the post is saying, why would you do whatever her name is? Like this, you sick AF. I'm gonna ruin your whole image with this one because everyone got to know about this. And I'm sorry that I didn't mark this as sensitive. I don't know how to, but this made me so MF and mad. Trigger warning. The second slide is domestic violence with audio. Please don't report this, y'all. Domestic violence is. It says, please don't report this, y'all. Domestic violence is something serious, and I'm trying to. Help.
So and it sounds like, oh, go ahead.
This was seemed like somebody who's her friend, somebody named Dutty Girl.
Yeah, that's okay. What I was saying. It seemed like, yeah, somebody, not the victim herself, but somebody that knows the victim.
So I'ma just narrate because I don't want to show it. There's I don't know how much of audio I want to be heard, but cause there's a video. So you can only hear her screaming in the video.
It sound bad.
You know me, he need his ass whooped. It said, according to Total Pro Sports, the video where Kristen Evangeline is getting beat up by Morris is from last year, but it wasn't released until now in an attempt to protect the player. Well, now it's too late as the girl and his close friends decide to take action. And his close friends decide to take action to stop the 30-year-old once and for all. Wow. Okay. So this is what he looks like. Darius Morris. I have no idea who he is, never heard of him.
He probably like a bench player and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was selected 41st in the 2011 draft by the Lakers. He went to Michigan. Hey man, you need your ass whooped, man. There ain't no other way around this, man. I don't care what color the woman is. I don't care about none of that stuff there. Hey, you need your ass whooped, man. You can't be going around putting your hands on people like that, man. If you have anger issues, then your ass ain't ready to be in no damn relationships.
Yeah.
But the problem is, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's just terrible, man. I mean, cause it's bad enough when you talking about just guys in general, right? Because of the difference in physicality between just a regular guy and a woman, but then you talking about a professional athlete
with strength,
right? That's just terrible all the way around.
But it's just it's like, but a lot of these people know they messed up. They know they are. You might not know the depth of your trauma, but you know you have issues. Because I doubt this is the first time he's done this.
Right.
Because apparently this been going on for a while. Because if this video alone was from last year, how many other times has this happened?
Yeah.
So. I mean, he needs therapy. He needs his ass whooped, and he needs to get therapy. Because I'm always saying, you can't just... And I know, as men, our first thought is, let's whoop his ass. And I'm cool with that being your first thought, not necessarily your first action and the best action. Because a lot of these people were traumatized by violence. And you whooping his ass... not necessarily go teach them that lesson. You just reinforcing what they already know. And that's the issue with that. And so sometimes, like when I say that, that's why I always say whoop their ass and do therapy. But I also understand that sometimes you can reinforce violence with violence with some people because that's all they know. And they're like, hey, okay, she got out of line. I beat her. I got out of line. They beat me.
Yep. Yep. It's funny you mentioned like, you know, these were his friends or one of his friends that did that.
Right.
And so like I kind of think that's part of it too. That's what it takes. I mean, cuz like you know for a long time people, you know, like you may hear about stuff that's going on in somebody's relationship and the first thing you want to say, well, you know, I don't want to get in nobody's business.
Nah.
I mean, you ain't got to get in that business, but if somebody say something, you know, like, oh man, you know, I had to handle so and so because you know she, you know, you could question and be like, hey, you know, that ain't cool, right? That's not cool for you to do. so that you take away that safe space for them to feel like, oh, I can just say this around you guys. I mean, that's a small thing.
It is, but see, that's what I love about our dynamic as friends and our group of friends, because we already know what time it is. If we mm-hmm. find out somebody putting their hands on one of the ladies, because most likely we friends with her too.
Right.
So it's going to be an issue. Now, once again, we do have to think twice about how we handle the issue, because we all know what our first thoughts would be. We all know that. Whooping mm-hmm. ass. But is that the best course of action? And I know some people are like, yes. But think about what I said previously, though. Think about it. But you're right, though. But also, I'm not going to lie, I wonder if the circle of friends knew about this a year ago, or are they also just finding out about this now? Because if they knew about this a year ago or stuff in the past, then yes, what you did now is good, but you still contributed to mm-hmm. stuff in the past mm-hmm. as well. So you got to think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like what you said from my, it's likely happened before. And like I said, from my experience, you know, like working in social services, people, they may not know all the details,
mm-hmm.
but they know a little bit. They have an idea. Like, anytime I was in a case where it was something like a domestic violence situation, people knew. They may not have been able to have like video of it,
but they knew.
Hey, yeah, you know, he be talking to her any kind of way. He be doing this. You know, I kind of got a feeling this be happening. And like I said, a lot of times people take the attitude of, well, you know, that ain't my business. And so that's the kind of thing you want to get away from. I mean,
yeah,
you want to hold people accountable for their actions. Yeah. Even if it's as little as, you know, just calling them out on it and saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Even if you don't go to the police, just saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that.
Look, one thing Pat always say is, because you know how a lot of times people will get offended if you tell them or you give them a suggestion or you say something about how they raise somebody, how they live. And they will say, well, you shouldn't be worried about how I raise my kids or how I live, because how I live don't affect you. But yes, it do.
Mm-hmm.
How you could be living in San Francisco, but how I live in Tallahassee could negatively affect the way you live in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It's residual effects sometimes that we don't see, but it still affect other people. And that's what we have to be cognizant of. Yes, yes, you are responsible for your actions and you may receive the bulk of the repercussions, but that doesn't mean it won't negatively affect somebody somewhere else. So you got to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's transition to a little bit of foolishness. Man. You ready?
All right.
I should have got me a cigarette. So the truth, aka Paul Pierce, has been fired from ESPN because he had some strippers, some weed, and some rap music on Instagram Live, getting it in. Player Paul getting it in. So did you see the live?
Yeah, I didn't see it live when it happened, but I saw clips of it that people were sharing.
That was in there twerking and all that stuff there, man. Because the night it was happening, I was seeing little people sharing clips and stuff from it. And the first thing I was thinking is, man, what is Paul doing? Then my second thought is, right, I think Paul might get fired.
Yeah.
I'm not even surprised he got fired. Because it's like, why would you go live? Nobody's saying you can't do it. But why would you go live? Like, okay, I agree with a lot of people that, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But there is something called company policy. And right. We don't work at ESPN. But this is the same company that anchors got in trouble for talking about politics. This is Disney stuff.
Right. I was gonna say it's owned by Disney. I mean, and then shoot, you ain't even gotta take it that far. I mean, like, I know me working for the state. If I had a video like that, I probably would get fired.
Look, if I put a video out like that, my CEO, it depends on how egregious it is. It depends on really how egregious it is, because if you Google the company's website, my face is like all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because my CEO's pretty, she's a human. She's a real human being. And I appreciate that. But she won't allow us to tarnish the name of the organization and what she's worked to build, right? But right. At the same time, I have a mindset of if I rock with you, I wouldn't even put you in that situation.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and that's a crazy thing. That's a crazy thing. What you said. I mean, I don't even know if you saw the reaction he had after he got fired, it was it was like relief, like because he had another Snapchat or like a. TikTok or whatever, and it was him, and it just said smile after he had got fired. So I don't know, maybe he didn't even want to be there, but he had to, I'm like, he had to know that wasn't going to be received well.
Come on. So was it his attempt to get himself fired? Just quit.
I don't know, man.
I read, and I don't know how true it is, but I read that an adult entertainment company they offered him six figures to do a sports show with adult dancers.
Maybe it was like a contractual thing where he couldn't quit, and so he had to get out of the contract some other way. I don't know.
But Is that the route? Because people already don't take Paul Pierce serious as an analyst, because Paul Pierce is saying some left field crazy stuff that nobody agrees with.
Ever since the main thing I always think about is when he tried to say he was better than Dwayne Wade. And I never forget Jalen Rose ran down their career stats, and he was like, "Yeah, Dwayne Wade was three times Player of the Year, yeah. Whatever. You've never done it." And it was like, it was so much stuff Dwayne Wade did
that he'd never done. He
kept saying, "You've never done it."
Yeah. Hey, man. Like, hey man, because like Paul Pierce legit think he's better than LeBron.
Right, exactly.
But we watch Paul Pierce play. We watched his career. I'm not mad at Paul Pierce for thinking he's better than LeBron, because Paul Pierce got the upper hand on LeBron them a couple times. So
but see, I feel what you're saying. I wouldn't be mad at him for thinking he better in the moment, like when you playing.
I mean, right? No, nobody because he know damn well overall he ain't better than LeBron. But well, we from a competitive standpoint, I get that. Hey, head to head, I was able to best you this many times. I get that.
Right.
But beyond that. Stop it.
Exactly. But go back to the video, man. I mean, it was crazy, and like I saw people talking about it, saying like some people saying like they they couldn't believe he got fired, and I was all like, "What? Are you
Why?
serious? You can't write." That's what I'm like, yeah, you know, they saying stuff like, "Oh, well, he was doing this on his own personal time," and I'm like, "Yeah," and it would have been fine if he just didn't record it and live broadcast it.
I mean, I can throw a new cocaine party if I want to on my own time. But if I throw that, if I record myself, if I go live for my new cocaine party, come Monday, I just need to turn in my badge.
Right.
There's, exactly. There's no questions to be asked. I just need to turn in my badge on Monday. That's it.
Right. Yeah, it's not even a question. It's not even a question.
And I and my organization is nowhere as near as nationally or internationally or even statewide recognized as the NBA. But guess what? Because it's known in this 8 county area for what it do, and because my face is on the website a lot, I just need to turn in my badge if I do a new cocaine party because it's over.
Right.
Same I did it to way. Myself.
Right.
It's like Paul did it to himself. But you mad? What you mad at? And if you're a fan, what you mad at? First of all, why you that emotionally invested into Paul Pierce anyway?
Yeah,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's something you gotta look in the mirror and answer that.
Especially as an analyst, like, come on, man. Like, as a player, I get it. But as an analyst.
Yeah, he was not my favorite analyst. I just leave it at that.
So, who would you take if somebody had to be the analyst to save your life, and that their quality of analyzation would determine on whether you stay alive? And it was between Paul Pierce and Booger McFarland. Who you choosing?
I knew it's gonna say Booger McFarland. Honestly, bro, I'd probably take Booger McFarland. I mean, because like Booger McFarland, I mean, he would just say goofy stuff. But like,
he was Captain Obvious.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like I could like he like I. A couple of things stood out to me. Like, I remember one time it was a Vikings game back when Xavier Rhodes was playing, and it put the stat up there that said, like, quarterbacks had a QB rating of like 120 something when they targeted Xavier Rhodes, and all he said was, like, that's not good, Tess. Like, duh. So, but he never, you never got a sense from him that, you know.
You knew he knew he was talking about, but he just right. wasn't great at articulating.
He's better in the studio than them color commentary games where he had to say stuff on the fly. Because in the studio, I mean, it's live, but before the light come on, you can kind of get together. Okay, yeah, we're gonna talk about this and this and
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And put the thoughts together. But during the game, something happened. You got to make an analysis right then. And he would just say, "Yeah, the quarterback, you know, he tried to throw the pass, but the guy dropped it, so it's incomplete."
No, you lying. He did that. That is not what I saw. Hey, man. So we're going with Booger. You win. Because Paul Pierce is going to be like, well, I believe I'm better than LeBron James anyway, right. So don't none of this matter.
All right.
Paul. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I would have killed myself. Thank you. All right. So let's make a left turn at Albuquerque. And let's talk about Florida State and Travis Rudolph, and try our best to not connect this with Florida State University because he's a graduate, so this has nothing to do with the school. But he's a former football player. His name is Travis Rudolph, and he was arrested and is being held on murder and attempted murder charge, according to Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Records for the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office show that Rudolph who's 25 years old, was arrested in connection with an early morning shooting in Lake Park, Florida on Wednesday. He was transported to the Palm Beach Sheriff's main detention center, where he's being held without bond. Rudolph is charged with one count of first-degree premeditated murder and three counts of attempted first-degree murder, according to PBSCO. Shortly after midnight, deputies responded to a double shooting that stemmed from an altercation on the 500 block of North Redwood Drive, Lake Park, the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office said. Upon arrival, deputies learned that one male was transported to the local hospital for treatment, and another male was located a short distance away, deceased, in the city of West Palm Beach. The former FSU star who attended the Cardinal Newman High School and prep and an area prep school is scheduled to appear in court Thursday. Rudolph was a standout wide receiver at Florida State and Cardinal Newman, yada, 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 yada. So that's all this NBC News, and that's all pretty much the details that they're giving. So somebody's killed, somebody's shot, and they didn't state whether Rudolph was one of those two people. But nevertheless, they're saying he's involved.
I don't think he got hurt.
But he was involved in the shooting.
This is one of those things, man, that it just reiterates that, like, when you talk about these guys, professional athletes and entertainers in general, but we mostly talk about professional athletes, you don't really know them. You only know a piece. Because, like you mentioned, like, him being at Florida State, he got the notoriety because, he was good on the field, but because when they went on that trip to, I forget FIU. What school it was. No, they went to like a local middle school.
Oh, yeah, he sat with the kid.
Yeah, he sat with the kid, and they like became best friends. And they had like one of the specials on game day about it and everything. And so he's one of those guys like, he's a great guy and everything like that. So, and then this happens. So it just goes, granted, you got to let the facts play out and the justice system play out. But it's just like, man, you don't really know.
Yeah, you don't really know these players.
Going on in these guys' lives.
But because as you're saying that, one of the first questions I wonder, because we oftentimes when we hear this, I don't know how many people would ask themselves, what if he was protecting himself? And I wanna, and I may be guilty of not doing this at times on the show, but I know one of the main reasons I started doing it is because when we talk about, especially black athletes or black men in the news, they're dehumanized a lot. Because you could see, say, random thug kill such and such, and that it'll be a black guy who had an altercation and may have ended up killing somebody. And then you have a white guy who mass murdered 22 people, and they humanized that person. So I try to be conscious about doing that on here, but at the same time, not giving people a pass, especially if they are guilty. Now, the thing about this one is we don't have the details to know if he is guilty, but I do want to put that out there. What if he was protecting himself? But also, what if he wasn't?
Right. I mean, like I said, that'll be the things that, they'll be determined in the justice system. I mean, because you hate to hear about that, but backing up what you said, I mean, like, that is true. I mean, like, depending on what the person looks like, the article is different. Just like think about like like when they talking about the hurricanes in Houston and Katrina and stuff, like, depending on what the person look like, they may call it looting versus they if they look another kind of way, they may call it, you know, scavenging or something
Right.
else.
Right.
Or, you know, like, hey, this person's trying to survive versus
Right.
this person's looting.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, we know how that is.
I hope that for his sake, he's not involved in no crazy nefarious stuff.
Me too.
For his sake. I'm hoping it was some self-defense things, but at the same time, if you're put into a position where you have to defend yourself and these are the people that you're around, you don't need to be around these folks. Like, you old enough and you've been around, you've been exposed to enough to understand that even if you may not have the resources, you have access to some resources to help you out. You're not totally oblivious of what's going on. You've been exposed to enough of the world. You've been exposed to enough of success and opportunity to know where you can ask for help. So I'm not saying that he doesn't know, not accusing him of anything, but just saying I hope it isn't a thing of a feeling of scarcity or feeling of lack for coming from somebody who's been in the position that he's in, because all you got to do is pick up the phone and call somebody. I'm sure somebody's willing to help, because somebody's mm-hmm. willing to help me, so I know somebody willing to help him.
Yep. Like you said, man, you got to let it play out and see what happens within the course and everything like that. But yeah, it's just, I keep going back. It just make you think about, man, you don't really know what's going on with these people that we're always talking about. So kind of like what we was talking about, like Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Like, you know, for all, everything that you hear about him is like, he's one of the great, you know, he's not just one of those things they always say, not just a great player, but a great person. So, you know, they said that same thing about Travis Rudolph when he was here because of what he did. So, you know, you just hope that's not tarnished, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, for those who don't know, the latest happenings in the case is two of the accusers spoke. So the first and the second lady to accuse him. I'm not sure if the other lady was the second, but I know the first woman to speak was the actual first accuser. Can't recall her name, but she gave her statement on what happened with Deshaun. Just a recap, of course, the total is up to now 21 civil lawsuits against him. Some of the pushback from that was none of the women had put their names on it. So out of the 21, we have two women who put their name and their faces on their accusations. There are 18 women who are massage therapists who say they work with Deshaun, who put their names and their faces and their reputations in defense of him. Rusty Harden is Deshaun's lawyer, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to call the other one Buzz Lightyear, but that ain't that man's name. I can't remember his name, but the accuser's lawyer is Tony Busby. Yeah, Tony Busby. He is not totally cool with Houston PD investigating it, even though they are saying that they'll go along with things. He's saying because Rusty Harden's son works for HPD, he doesn't really feel comfortable. So a criminal investigation has now been launched into the case with Deshaun Watson. And from what I heard league-wise is a couple of the teams who were potential suitors for Deshaun Watson trade are slowly backing off. So that's what we know for right now. When we learn more, gonna let you know. All right, so time for this weekly rant. It's time for the weekly rant. That's my quick song for it. Like that. So, two part weekly rant. Both dealing with domestic violence that turned to murder, unfortunately. So there's an ex-MMA fighter named Tyler East who was fatally shot in a domestic dispute. So Tyler East was shot and killed on Monday in New Mexico, according to police. He was 30 years old. New Mexico State Police say they responded to a domestic violence call Monday evening in the Albuquerque suburb of Los Lunas, according to multiple local reports. When police arrived, they say they found East dead alongside a woman with a gunshot wound. According to KOB4, the woman whose name was not released is hospitalized in stable condition. According to police, East shot his girlfriend and dragged her out of a house before an unidentified man shot and killed East. The suspect in the East shooting fled the scene prior to police arrival. I have a question. So, in this case, in this scenario, because I thought about this, because something similar to this happened in my neighborhood. So, like, one night, I was, I'm in the living room, and it's a lot of hood stuff going on outside, a lot of hood noise and stuff, so I heard a girl scream, but the scream wasn't a regular, we having fun, or we out here being hood scream. It was a, hey, I'm in distress scream. Mm-hmm. So I peeked and looked at my blinds, and I seen a dude come around the corner with a semi-automatic weapon. And so he shot up the wrong house, though, but he shot up the house, shot two people. So my question is, in a case like that, in a case like this is with East, if I see that, and like as a neighbor or somebody who's trying to protect things going on, if I involve myself, and like this person did, and shoot and wound or shoot and kill that person, how would that go over in court? Can that be seen as self-defense or things like that? How is that viewed from your knowledge?
I don't think it can be self-defense because you're not defending, you know, your direct person or, you know, some personal property. But I think it can be argued that it's justified if, you know, like, you trying to help someone else. Right. So like in this situation, yeah, like I said, like, it sounds like that's what happened. Like he was beating on somebody else, and a neighbor or whoever heard it and intervened. And in the course of that intervention, they killed them. But you know, that'll be what they argue in court. The one lawyer, the prosecutor will say like, hey, no, this person, you know, they overstepped and killed this person. And the guy who did the killing, the defense lawyer will say, no, they only did this because it was either this guy or that lady. One of them was gonna die, so he had to act.
Right.
That'll be what they argue. I mean, right. But yeah, it could be justified.
Right. But there's a twist in this because the guy who shot and killed East fled the scene, so that's a mm-hmm. twist.
And like when I was looking at it, like, I thought that odd too. I was all like, well, did this person know this guy? What was the deal with that? Because like you said, I mean, I don't want to say like it, you, because you know, I don't want to say what you would do in a situation, because you know, you don't really know how you react to situations till you actually in it. But you would think that if you were acting legitimately and you saw a guy almost beating a lady to death, mm-hmm. and you stepped in and you felt like you was acting, what you were doing was right, you wouldn't necessarily flee. But you know,
so East shot his girlfriend, wounded her, and was shot and killed by somebody else. So as an MMA fighter, he has a career record of 15-6. He was a heavyweight. His last fight was in 2016. So criminal history. Right. So criminal history, he was arrested in 2020 on charges of stealing money from his dead grandfather's bank account, in addition to battery and resisting arrest after allegedly fleeing from police. According to MMA Junkie, he was arrested multiple times in the past 12 years on domestic violence-related charges, including kidnapping and aggravated battery. So it seems he might have had a history of stuff like this.
As I say, he needed some help long before this happened.
Right, because unfortunately, this led to him losing his life. That young lady, if she survives, she's definitely going to have trauma and have to go through therapy to get over this or to even live with this because of some traumatized person who can't deal with themselves taking it out on her.
Right.
That's crazy. But see, this whole story is filled with a lot of things that we know in a lot of circles would end up in a lot of debates and arguments. Ranging from, that's why people need to mind their business to know. Mm-hmm. That's why people need to intervene.
Yeah.
To people need mental health. Or people don't need mental health. Like all those things. It's unfortunate that it ended up like this, but that's his brother. I'm sorry. I said that twice. Tyler East. Tyler East needed help a while
ago. Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of people who are in domestic violence issues or may have domestic violence history. They are in a lot of contact sports. You notice that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll take a certain mindset, you know. I mean, like, you think about, if you're thinking about a person, the type of person that would do that, what are some kind of traits you would think that they would have? They would have, like, anger, aggression, you know, like, you know.
Self-control ain't the best.
Right, stuff like that. Those traits will lend you well in a contact sport.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And unfortunately, though, those contact sports realize how they benefit from that aggression. So over the years, these things have been swept under the rug till now, where you got people who want to deal with it, but it's kind of hard to really deal with it at the best level because it's been compiling for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are with, you see an overflow of more violence in these men in these sports. So, hey, we even found out, didn't we find out Ronda Rousey was beating up her dude? Was it Rousey?
I don't remember, maybe so.
I think it was Rousey. We found out she was abusive to her dude.
It's so possible. But like I said, I mean, that just goes, like I said, even whether you're talking about a man or a woman, like in those sports, you know, like the traits that you would think about somebody being abusive, those are positive traits for a contact sport.
Right.
Whereas most areas in life, they're not going to serve you that well.
Right, right, right. That's why Mike Tyson couldn't have been nobody but a boxer.
Right, exactly.
Because he needed, because the Mike Tyson we see now is because of therapy and work.
Mm-hmm.
And
counseling. Mm-hmm.
And because I don't know if the Mike Tyson we see now would have been as successful as the Mike Tyson did. Coming in with that mindset. He needed to be what he was to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So now, whether that's good or bad, that's not for me to determine. But that is what it was. So all right, so that was Tyler East. So the second part of this weekly rant, we're talking about a former NFL player named Philip Adams, who subsequently killed 5 people in South Carolina, then killed himself. It's going down, man. It's wild tonight. So Philip Adams fatally shot 5 people, including a prominent doctor, his wife, and their 2 grandchildren, before later killing himself, authorities said Thursday. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and this was crazy because I was reading about this, and if I'm not mistaken, these weren't even people he knew. These were just random people, right?
So I'm finna find out, because I believe so, except for the grandkids and stuff. But say York County Sheriff Kevin Tolson told a news conference Thursday that investigators had not yet determined a motive to the mass shooting Wednesday. There's nothing right now that makes sense to any of us, Tolson said. Dr. Robert Leslie, who's 70, and his wife, Barbara, 69, were pronounced dead at the scene Wednesday, along with their grandchildren, Ada Leslie and Noah Leslie. A man who had been working at the home, James Lewis. Okay, so he killed. Hold on. Philip shot five people, including the prominent. Okay, so he killed the doctor, his wife, and two children. Okay, because I was thinking they were saying Philip killed the doctor and the wife, and then Philip's two grandchildren. But they're saying Philip.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he even knew these people.
Okay. So it say a man who had been working at the home, James Lewis, 38, from Gaston, was found shot to death outside. A sixth victim, Robert Shook, 38, of Cherryville, North Carolina, was flown to Charlotte Hospital, where he was in critical condition, fighting hard for his life, after said a cousin, Heather Smith Thompson. At Thursday's news conference, Tolson played audio of two 911 calls related to the shooting, the first from HVAC company that employed Lewis and the other person doing work at the Leslie home. One of them, the caller said, he called him screaming and saying that he had been shot, that his coworker was shot and unresponsive. But I think there has been a bad shooting. A different man said in the second 911 call, saying he was outside cutting his grass and heard about 20 shots fired at the Leslie home before seeing someone leave the house. Tolson said evidence left at the scene of the shooting led them to Adams as a suspect. He said they went to Adams' parents' home, evacuated them, and then tried to talk Adams out of the house. Eventually, they found him dead with a single gunshot wound to the head in the bedroom. He said Adams was 32. Tolson said both a 45 and a 9mm handgun were used in Wednesday's shooting. Adams had been treated by Leslie, who lived near his parents' home in Rock Hill, according to a person who had bereaved about who was briefed about the investigation and who spoke on condition of anonymity because he wasn't authorized to speak publicly. However, Tolson would not confirm that Adams had been the doctor's patient. Okay.
So it seemed like he knew him professionally.
Right.
But it wasn't like, that's just still crazy. I mean, because, like, it's almost like he picked these people at random. Like, these are people I know, and I'm going to go kill them? It's crazy.
Yeah. So they're trying to ask him whether he had concussion-related injuries or was immediately killed. Adams would not have been eligible for testing as part of a broad settlement between the league and its former players over such injuries because he hadn't retired by 2014. So they were saying he wouldn't have been eligible to be tested for CTE. So he killed his doctor, the doctor's wife, and two kids. Killed another. He's shot like six or seven people.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what was the motive.
That, like I said, that's why it's so crazy. When I was reading about it, it's like, he just did this at random.
That's crazy. That's sad, man. Wow. I don't even know how to rant to this.
That's what I said. That was it. When I was reading it, I didn't catch the part that the doctor was his doctor, and that was the connection. Because when I was reading it about it, my whole thing was, like I said, it just sounded like he just showed up to some random people's house and right. killed them. And then later on killed himself. Which is, I mean, it's bad enough that, you know, okay, I mean, you can't even wrap your head around that. I mean, like, you just, like, people just, they just sitting at home chilling, and someone just come in and kill them for nothing.
Right. Right. That's wild, man. That's unfortunate. I don't know, man, because I'm trying to read some more. Just why?
They don't know, man.
Because they say he was a pretty good dude. So what? Because all the information is saying pretty much like what we were just saying, you wouldn't pretty much expect them.
But I guess that's why they're thinking about the possibilities of the CTE. I mean, right. Cause, and I can see that. I mean, because like for you to just at random with no kind of motive, not even like, oh, you know, they was having a disagreement or anything. Not that that would make it any better, but. Right.
But most of the people who are speaking out on his behalf is basically saying that that's pretty much out of his character. He was a good person. They're saying he didn't drink, he didn't smoke. They say he funded two urgent care centers, wrote a weekly medical column for the Charlotte Observer, and became a prolific author, writing several volumes with advice on how to lower cholesterol or blood pressure and lose weight.
Now, is this...
No,
is
that
this
was the physician. I'm sorry. That was the physician.
I would say that's the doctor or that's the player?
That's the doctor, my bad. I don't know, man. I don't know. So it had to be some kind of mental something that just went awry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. This one, we're gonna have to kind of keep our eye on and come back with more detail because we really don't have enough details. I don't even know how to rant on this.
You just
like, what
you
am
just,
I supposed to say?
You just feel sorry for the family. I mean, that's all you can
right.
say.
Because,
right. Like I said, I mean, he did know the people, or he knew the doctor. But it's pretty much just like people at random. I mean, it's like if you open up a phone book and just pick out some names and say, I'm going to kill these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, he killed folk he knew. So that's sad. That's unfortunate, man. That's unfortunate. So our thoughts, our prayers, our condolences go out to the family of the victims. We're definitely going to keep them in our prayers and hope that they can get the help that they need to be able to move. I don't even want to say move past it, so just be able to move forward. To mm-hmm. just continue to live as healthy as possible, man. Greatly. Greatly, greatly, greatly. I ain't got no real rant for that. So and wrapping this up, DMX died yesterday. So, you know, we want to give a shout out to DMX. We rocked this music since 98. DMX was an important part of our hip hop lives. We remember when It's Dark and Hell Is Hot came out, everybody had it.
The Rough Riders anthem.
Throw your eggs up, fool. For the dog.
I just remember we used to play that joint in the locker room after yep. almost every practice.
Yeah. I remember when that Get At Me Dog video came out. We was like ninth grade when that Get At Me Dog video came out. Because, you know, it was coming off the Shiny Suit era.
Right.
And that video came out. And I was like, man, what is this? I don't know what this is, but I like this. It's gritty. It's street. And I like this because DMX was the first rapper to take real street music mainstream
mm-hmm.
across the globe, man. It was a He was he had an interesting life, but DMX at the core was a pretty good dude. He was a good dude, and you know, we rocked with him. We enjoyed his music. We enjoyed him as a human being as well. Once we got to know him as a human being, I think that's what made a lot more people like him even. So, shout out to the dog, man. May he rest in peace. And y'all make sure y'all play y'all DMX songs all week. Because he deserves it. He was just that good. All right. Hey, man, you got any shout outs, any parting shots before we close this thing down?
Nah, man, like what you saying. I mean, just thinking about all the great music, man, and like you said, man, it's just sad to think about.
It is. I know the tone of this show is a little bit somber because a lot of stuff that happened, but these are the things that have been happening in the world of sports, and we want to address the things, but also make sure they're not personalized. We're working to help make things better. So, hey man, the Fix Sports Podcast, you already know, for the full videos, make sure you become a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/thefix. That way you get the full videos. You become a patron for as little as $1 a month, be able to get all of the content that we got coming. And we got some good things coming in the future. We got some things working on behind the scene for the future to take this thing to the next level. So y'all stay tuned and rock with us. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. joe@freedomtrainradio.com is the email. And man, holler at us. My dog is Nationwide5 on Twitter and Instagram. But how you spell your Nationwide?
That'll be capital NATION capital YDE _5.
Nationwide_5. Follow my dog on Twitter and Instagram. Freedom Train Network. Instagram, Freedom Train Network. Facebook, Freedom Train Network. YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. Y'all know how we do. Throwing gang signs in your face for the game that I don't really know. Man, let's make sure we work to make our environment better, man. Peace.